The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
You're listening to Prop Culture. This is Loot, and I'm here with Quirky's 1988 and Quirky's 307. In that order. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you? Loot for Adventurers number 2020.
Hello, Loot.
Should we start Prop Culture today with some comedy? I'm an NFT, so I don't get married or anything, but I got my wife a... I was at Macy's. I had to get her a birthday present. They have Longines. They have Mark or Donna Karen. They have all these different brands. I got her a Guess watch. Doesn't have any hands. She hates it.
Oh, so is it a digital watch?
That was a joke.
This is an old Loot joke.
Okay.
I've heard this one, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I guess, did you get it?
Oh, that she has, like, the wife has no hands? Is that what the joke is?
See, it works on different levels.
Here there's a bunch of these Asian hardcore bands. They're, like, doing this, like, hardcore punk. Fans of these bands, they're getting on Twitter and really rallying behind them and insulting anyone that disses these Asian hardcore bands. They call it Ian McKay Pop.
That's a deep joke.
Is that funny?
Yeah, that is funny.
Thank you.
Real quick, the I ratings have arrived. Number one in several new markets. Shout out to fans. We have Mark in Cartersville, Georgia. Christine in Portchester, New York. Fan in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Maryville, Tennessee. They're listening to us at the Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Reach out to us, iHeartPropCulture@gmail.com. I love PropCulture@gmail.com. Either one of those works.
Remember Brad Pitt's movie Bullet Train?
Yes.
We were guessing how much it will make in the first weekend.
Yes. What were our guesses?
Mine was 30 million. Quirky's 307 was 35 million. And yours was 60 million.
Uh-oh. How'd we do?
Bullet Train nets 32.4 million.
Whoa.
Wait, so you won?
You win.
So I guess I won.
Wow.
Wow.
So we both owe you $10.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Wow, nice work. Although,
great guess. You're off by half a million. That's incredible.
No, 32.4 million.
Oh, $2.5 million. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You're just raking in money this season of Prop Culture.
32.5 million. Everyone does. It seems like people say it's terrible.
I didn't see it. I'm not going to go see it either.
I got invited to go see Elvis. I declined.
Yeah. Good for you. Talking about the NFTs.
Oh.
Our bet was, will the LVMH stock go up or down? Last week it was at 138.
NFTs, just to reiterate, the great jewel company Tiffany issuing NFTs that also give you a pendant, a physical pendant that comes with your digital token.
Last week the stock was at 138. I just checked it today. It's at 139.
It went up.
Yeah, so we all said Loot 1988 and 307. We all said it would go up. Only Balls Like Jagger number 001 said that it would go down. He had no money, actually, to pay us, so we kicked him off the show. There is an article in the Washington Post. This is from a few weeks ago, July 22nd, basically saying Dirty Shirley is not the drink of the summer of 2022.
Wow, they confirmed it?
SNL's Bowen Yang told Jimmy Fallon that I just heard that Dirty Shirley is the drink of the summer. The Today Show team mixed Dirty Shirley's. Many outlets referenced the New York Times headline, but erased the question mark, trying to make this as a fact, not a question.
Oh.
But the author of this article, M. Carrie Allen, she asked a bunch of bartenders in New York City if people were ordering Dirty Shirley's, and these bartenders said no.
Mm.
So
you're saying the New York Times article that said Dirty Shirley, the drink of the summer, was a question.
It was a question. It was speculative.
Oh,
and
they carefully edited it out.
PR campaign.
And it was a PR campaign on behalf of Big Cherry.
Big Cherry or Big Vodka.
Yeah, but the New York Times asks, is the Dirty Shirley the drink of the summer? So despite the fact that this question was asked, which you know, that's totally fine that you asked it too. You made a bet and you thought the answer would be yes, but unfortunately for you, the answer is no. You owe each of us $10.
Wow. I'm going to text you guys right now a picture of the Dirty Shirley that I made.
I mean, how can we know that it's not a Shirley Temple, but a Dirty Shirley? It's impossible to tell.
We have to be able to smell it or something.
Yeah.
By the way, the summer has another month in it. It's going to be, second week of August.
Look, the article is out. I'm saying no, you owe us $10.
Doesn't that look delicious?
It looks okay.
Just looks like a Shirley Temple.
There's still time for the Dirty Shirley.
Okay, listen. I'm going to put a star by this.
Uh-huh.
I've written it down. It's in the ledger. I'll put a star by it. We'll follow up.
This is the week that we are commencing. I keep saying this. No one's going to believe me. Minting Balls Like Jagger.
This week we're commencing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been commencing for a while.
Yeah.
You've met Balls Like Jagger. If you listen to last week's Prop Culture, you met a new NFT that we are minting. He's been conceived. Its name is Balls Like Jagger 001. Yeah.
I think we should do a limited run of Balls Like Jagger, maybe only 1,500.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking.
And they all should be slightly different from each other, right?
Yeah, they should all have their own different, kind of like, we could put we could pierce the balls. We could put hair on the balls. Some balls will have no hair.
Anyway, we're going to mint Balls Like Jagger this week. If I can figure it out. I don't know how to do it. You guys know how to do it?
I haven't looked into it too much. I bet I could find a video on YouTube that a child will guide us through how to mint an NFT.
All right. Oh. Hold on. Yes. Loot. Yeah. 1988. Yeah. 307. Yeah. All right. Hey, the missus here. It's surrounded by cords. I have to chew through them.
Yeah, man, I've never seen you do that before. It's sensual.
Dear Lootbag and the rest, existence continues to be a gamble. Here are today's topics. Famous people in love.
A lot of celebrity love, life, excitement, a lot of drama.
It's been a very dramatic week.
While Pete and Kim are breaking up, Fred Durst is getting married.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I guess he's getting some of that nookie.
I mean,
they played that at the wedding.
Which number is his new wife? Is it wife number four? Three?
Four.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Number four, yeah. You guys ever see Limp Bizkit?
No.
No.
I've never enjoyed any aspect of Limp Bizkit.
You don't like them?
Never.
You don't like any of the... Are they good musicians?
I don't know. I'm sure. Probably. I mean, they got famous. I'm sure they're pretty good.
So you can be a good musician and your music sucks?
Absolutely. That's like one of the most golden rules of music.
What if I said Fred Durst is calling in today?
I'd say that's fine. Hey, nice to meet you, Fred.
How's your Malibu estate doing?
Does he live in Malibu?
Didn't his Malibu estate get burned down or something?
I don't know. That's a you question. You're the celebrity realty expert.
I'm pretty sure his Malibu estate got burned down a few years ago, and I'm wondering if he rebuilt it.
Anyway, Fred Durst got married while Pete and Kim break up. Pete is 27. Kim is 41. They say that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I could see that being part of the problem. But look, I mean, was Pete Kim's first boyfriend after Kanye West? Or did she have other boyfriends?
I think he was her first boyfriend after Kanye West, because this is the official story. She was single for a while, and they met on the SNL set when she was hosting SNL.
Right, so...
They did a kiss, and it was a real kiss.
On SNL?
Yeah, in one of the scenes they were supposed to kiss, and Kim felt a spark.
Wow. I think it was her first relationship after a marriage. I think she was always just kind of... He was her boy toy.
Pete Davidson is very good at dating hot women. He dated Cindy Crawford's daughter. He dated Larry David's daughter.
Two of the most beautiful people in the world, and he dated both of their daughters.
Exactly.
I was talking to somebody, but what's going on in pop culture this week in your world? Pete and Kim broke up. Anybody care?
Here's the thing. When I saw that trending on Twitter, I immediately said, 1988, Pete and Kim broke up. And she said, why are you doing this? Are you talking about this for prop culture? I'm like, no, I'm just talking. I'm just telling you right now.
The show makes you fall in love with pop culture.
Yes. And I think the thing about Pete and Kim was magnified because Kanye made that music video where Pete Davidson was, I think, kidnapped or burned or something. I think Kanye, if Kanye was just silent, I don't think this relationship would have been all over the news. But I think Kanye just making a huge deal about this relationship, him having like phone calls with Pete Davidson, I think that made the relationship like viral.
Someone's going to talk about it. People magazine or whatever, you know, National Enquirer. People are going to talk about it.
Don't you ever wonder if you're just being fucked with by a bigger plan that some Hollywood agency has concocted all of this to make you talk about them?
That's fine.
I mean that's probably what
look,
it is.
We're still the number one podcast in the world, regardless of whether or not these things really happen, you know?
Shout out to Maryville, Tennessee, listening again at the Cotton Eye Joe. Maryville, Tennessee, right off I-40. In fashionable Eastern Tennessee. Big prop culture fans there. Pete and Kim, Fred Durst. Any wagers to be had there?
Yeah, I have a wager. Who do you think will start publicly dating first, Kim or Pete?
Oh.
Pete.
Pete has a BDE, right?
I guess.
What's a BDE?
It's...
I don't want to say it, but you can look it up.
I'm going to say
it. You can look it up and tell me if you think Pete has BDE.
I'm going to tell you what BDD is.
No, don't tell her.
BDDDE. Gen Z changed it to BDDE. It's big ding dong energy.
Oh, wow.
Are you looking at it? Yeah, you're looking at big ding-dongs right now, right?
I still don't get it. I don't know. But I agree that Pete will probably date first.
Pete's going to date first. And two, I think, who knows, maybe Kim and Kanye will get back together.
Wow.
Whoa, that'll be something.
I don't know.
I'm taking the opposite bet. I think Kim's going to date first.
Really?
Yeah, but Pete does have that BDE. You never know.
I think Pete's going to date first, and... Unlike Quirky's 307, I don't think Kim and Kanye are going to go back together.
I'm not betting that they're going to get back together. Yeah. I'm just, you know, speculating.
I think to Kim's eyes, Kanye is now damaged goods.
Whoa.
I wonder what those kids are. Because, you know, you think of celebrity children. Most of them, I think, stay out of the spotlight, except for people like Larry David and Cindy Crawford's daughters who go around dating Big Ding Dong Davidson.
Well, I think Larry David's daughter, though, started to be in the public spotlight after she decided that she'll be a comedian like her dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Larry David's daughter was not exposed to fame early on. I only heard about her when she turned like 18.
But I wonder if, what's the Northwest?
Yeah, she's been in the public spotlight since she was born.
Is there more than one kid?
There are four kids.
Four kids? Jesus, I truly out of the loop here. Should not be hosting a show where I speculate on famous children.
No, it's good for you to learn. Live and learn.
It's good to learn, yes.
What are their names? Corkies.
I do not know their names.
North, Psalm, Chicago, and Saint.
I'm sorry, those are terrible names.
No, I like Chicago.
Some would say Kim and Pete are very, and Fred Durst. I mean, that might be one of the worst names you can have, Fred Durst. But he made it work.
But, yeah, what do you want to say about Fred Durst's wedding, Luke?
I don't know. I don't have a bet for Fred Durst getting married. I hope that he has a great marriage. I hope that his fourth marriage is great and that he's happy.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gathering of the Juggalos.
Legend Valley in Ohio, 4 days of debauchery. Thousands of horrorcore rap fans descended on the annual Gathering of the Juggalos. From spraying each other with beer to play fighting with sex toys on a stick.
Wow.
Whoa. So was
That's
this
a
the
festival for Juggalos?
Was this the first festival after COVID?
Yes.
Whoa.
Now in its 22nd year, pictures from this year's gathering reveal Juggalos and Juggalettes throwing themselves into the theme as they spray themselves with paint and soak each other with Faygo soda, a community tradition.
Ugh.
Wow.
The greatest family reunion on Earth claims to be the longest-running independent rap festival in the world.
Well, good for them.
Many don the traditional clown makeup or masks while showing off Juggalo tattoos and elaborate, colorful outfits.
The lineup, unexpected.
Steel Panther, I think, was in the Juggalo.
Slick Rick, Sir Mix-a-Lot, KRS-One.
You want to hear some of the wild things they do?
I guess.
One fan was pictured jumping off a stage after spraying both his chest and nether regions in red, white, and blue paint.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Patriotic.
Hold on. In more tame events, acts were seen surrounded by massive teddy bears.
No way.
While still covered in clown paint.
Well, so people had sex with teddy bears in public?
Don't know.
I don't think there's. Yeah. It mentioned sex.
You need to practice on your listening comprehension.
This is how fake news comes about. Rowdy festival goers have thrown up explicit signs.
Like what? Like hell, damn.
They don't specify. Yes.
Shit.
One man was seen shoving a hot pepper up his privates.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Urethra?
Before taking a bite out of it afterward.
Oh! Juggalo!
Man, I feel bad for the emergency rooms nearby the Juggalo Fest. They probably have to deal with a lot of disgusting shit.
Oh, one more detail.
Okay.
Among the tents, a lot of people camping. Oh my gosh, a massive inflatable dinosaur had also been set up.
Wow.
Holy shit,
this is wild.
Can you imagine being a parent and having your child go off to Gathering of the Juggalos and seeing their photos on Facebook as you scroll through, just saying, where did I go wrong?
Is it, will video surface of one man shoving a hot pepper up his privates before taking a bite out of it afterward?
That's a good bet, actually. That's the bet we should go for. I say no.
Everything we say on prop culture is unreliable, including this. This is a story from the U.S. Sun. I have no proof that a man was seen shoving a hot pepper up his privates before taking a bite out of it afterwards.
You think the journalists were just making that up to make the festival seem crazier?
To sell papers. This is Caitlin Hornick's article.
here. I'm speculating. This could be wrong, but I think I see the video of the guy sticking the pepper up his ass. It's not a video. It's merely a photo.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that does look like what he's doing.
Oh, wow.
Look at these guys just sitting here trying to have some Bush Light. And this guy's like, I'll stick this this green pepper. It wasn't even like a jalapeno or anything. It wasn't even a spicy.
Was it like
a bell
pepper?
Yeah, just like a real big, thick one.
Some of those women in the back are half smiling.
Yeah, I think they're being entertained.
I don't know, man. This festival looks kind of tough.
I mean,
looks miserable.
Well, hey, there are enough miserable people to make a gathering, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there is video, apparently, of that guy with the pepper, because we see other people filming.
So yeah.
Will that surface? I'm going to say yes.
I'll say yes now, since there's a photo.
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
I mean,
that's
I
fun.
Just believe it will.
We want it to happen.
Paul Simon's old house.
I would like to talk about an update on Paul Simon's $6 million loss.
Quirky's 1988 with a special report.
Yes.
Celebrity real estate.
Yes. So I would like to update on...
Take it away, Quirky.
Sure. I would like to update on Paul Simon's recent transaction of his new canine home. So for people who haven't listened to this show before, Paul Simon lost $6 million on a recent real estate transaction. So Paul Simon bought this house, a new canine, for like $16 million back in 2002. He recently sold it for $10 million, resulting in a $6 million loss. Guess what? Who bought the new canine property?
Is this a pre-existing condition?
Yes.
I already know the answer to this. So.
Okay, let's not do it. Okay.
Well, no,
I
want to
do it.
Let's do it, but let's do it to Loot.
Yeah, Loot. Who do you think it was?
So, somebody bought Paul Simon's home,
and he's a very famous person. I'll give a hint.
And just shafted him out of $6 million.
8, 7.
It's a man.
6, 5, 4.
Art Garfunkel.
3.
Richard Gere bought that house.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a great guess, though.
Yeah, it was a great guess, but unfortunately, Richard Gere of Pretty Woman bought Paul Simon's new canine home for $10 million, pretty much. Yes, and I guess he bought that estate because, I did not know, Richard Gere recently married this hot young Latina woman and it has 2 young children.
God bless him.
Yes.
Really?
And I guess they're going to move into that house because it's probably in a good school district and has plenty of room. So
plenty of room, yeah. Paul Simon didn't take up much room.
Nope.
He slept under the sink.
Oh, my gosh.
Edie! Yeah.
Is someone knocking on your door?
Yeah, it's Paul.
Edie, let me the fuck out. I have to piss. Sorry, role playing.
Cracker Barrel goes woke.
You ever go to Cracker Barrel?
Yes, I have, but I've never set foot in one.
You've been to Cracker Barrel, but you never stepped foot in one?
No, yeah. I've passed by one, but I've never been in one.
That counts as a no.
That's a no.
You've never been inside?
No.
Then you've never been there?
No. Why should I? Yeah.
Well, then why'd you say that you have?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw people were asking.
Caught in a lie.
Yes. Well, guess what? I haven't been in one, and I probably will never go into one unless if
you're missing out. Cracker Barrel is like a very fancy Waffle House.
Okay.
And they have a room with candies, exotic candies. And then you can go in and get chicken and dumplings. You can get sweet tea in a cool mug.
Ugh.
It's always filled with old people sleeping on the front porch in rocking chairs.
Is all of that food made fresh to order? Or is
yeah. No, it's all made fresh.
Wow.
It's home cooking.
That's nice.
And they're in big trouble. I'll read you the headline.
Oh, boy.
Is Cracker Barrel menu getting woke? Meat eaters rage on Facebook over addition of impossible sausage.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is something to get angry about.
ruffled the feathers of meat eaters.
Wow.
See what they did there?
Yeah. So apparently there was a Facebook post where they announced this. Some of the comments I'm looking, are people really pissed?
Are they really pissed, or are they saying that people are pissed to raise their own profile? Is this fake?
I'm looking now at a comment, and they seem almost like positive comments, such as this comment from a woman named Katie. She says, I'm a big meat eater, but Impossible Burgers and sausage are so good. I couldn't even tell the difference. I think it's great for people who can't eat meat for whatever reason.
This is a spin.
This is a spin.
This is bullshit.
This is the USA Today article is trying to fabricate conflict in today's society, trying to find the polarization here.
So they can sell fucking USA Today's, which you get for free.
Well, I agree with you. But also, it is interesting how when I see pictures of grocery store runs right before like a store, and it's usually the Impossible Burger section that's like totally still stocked. I don't think people generally think Impossible Burgers or Impossible Meat is good. But in the end, I don't think people really care either if other people eat them.
I will tell you that I have had it a couple of times against my will, and I really liked it.
I'm finally found a negative comment from a woman named Robin who says, fake meat full of chemicals and fillers is better for you than actual meat? Man, some people are delusional and easily manipulated.
Yeah, but I don't think she's saying that Cracker Barrel's woke. She's just
expressing her opinion. So this seems to be like USA Today, Cracker Barrel sent them maybe a press release, and they said, oh, how should we spin this? Try to create conflict.
Yeah, I think it was done kind of by a...
Conflict sells.
Yeah, I think this was a conflict made by a PR agency, because Entrepreneur.com is talking about it. The Street is talking about it. CNN is talking about it. And they all have similar headlines.
This news is almost as bad as the dog that ate the Wendy's.
Yes.
Yes.
This is all at the same level.
Bad fast food story placement.
Same level of lowest common denominator eating coverage that is completely useless.
So people talk about fake news and politics, but there's also fake news and the most useless topics on earth, like Cracker Barrel news.
And I think this is one of the best parts of our show, is that we help illuminate that. But then we also...
That's right. It's a public service, really.
Yes.
What bet can we make about Cracker Barrel's false initiative?
I mean, we can bet on the stock price, because I'm surprised they are actually publicly listed in the stock exchange.
Are they?
Yeah, and their stock price is higher than I thought.
It's going to go up. This is great publicity for them.
And I hate to just agree with you on a bet, but definitely next week, 1 week from now, Cracker Barrel stock to the moon.
Yeah. We're on the same page there.
Well, I'll go against the grain. I will say Cracker Barrel stock a little down.
Okay, Garth Brooks.
But I also agree that this is a desperate PR stunt, because a lot of our customers are old and they're probably dying out. And they're like, oh, we need controversy so that controversial, loving people will go eat it at a restaurant.
I don't feel like Southern cooking is one of the trendiest foods right now.
That's true. Japanese food is the number one trendy food.
Is that true?
You think their market share is dying and they need to appeal to a younger, hipper, more liberal audience?
Well, I think even among, you know, one of their standbys is fried chicken, but now you got all like the Nashville hot chicken. That's the trendy style of fried chicken.
Or amongst really young people, Korean fried chicken is somewhat.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cracker
yeah.
Barrel is just doing their bland fried chicken, and it's not generating a new, fresh, young customer base. Hence, what they're doing here. They're trying to branch into this.
I'm going to do a special prop culture report. Cracker Barrel's marketing agency behind the woke Impossible campaign.
Wow.
That sounds fun.
Doesn't it sound fun?
Are you going to disguise yourself? Or are you
I'm going to get into it. I'm going to Google it and I'm going to report back next week.
Digital pop stars.
What do you guys know about Polar?
The
soft drink? The bubbly water?
Bubbly water?
Nope. The digital pop star, Polar.
Let me just look that up.
Polar. I don't know anything about a digital pop star named Polar. The only digital pop star that I know is the Japanese one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you're kind of a digital pop star.
That's, well, I wouldn't say I'm a pop star. I would say I'm more of a digital
commentator.
Anchor. I'm a digital anchor. I'm kind of like Hugh Downs.
ABBA. You know ABBA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They do concerts where they're a hologram on stage.
Wow. Because they're so old now, they don't want to show their real face.
ABBA. Well, ABBA. I call them ABBA. Is it ABBA?
You call them ABBA?
I call them ABBA. I've been calling it ABBA all my life.
I think they're called ABBA. I don't know. I suddenly started calling them ABBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. After headlining a festival in the metaverse, virtual singer and influencer Polar has ambitions to perform in the real world, drawing inspiration from the Avatar concerts pioneered by pop giants ABBA, the digital team behind her says. Does Polar exist, or have I just fallen in a PR hole? This
you
is from
followed,
Reuters.
You know, let me look how many Instagram followers Polar has.
Polar has 22,100 Instagram followers.
Wait, so is Polar is just inspired by ABBA?
It's just inspired.
That's all
it's
is.
Not,
yeah, inspired so by ABBA.
It's not affiliated in any way.
So here's the thing. If we aspire to be digital Hugh Downses,
right?
We have to look at someone like Polar, who is a complete artificial creation, who is attached somehow to ABBA and is possibly a major success.
So Polar is getting a lot of buzz. Does Polar have a new song out or something? Or what is Polar doing? Is Polar performing?
The news is that Polar has ambitions to perform in the real world.
You know what? Fuck this press release bullshit. I will say right now, I have aspirations to be a digital pop star. Next week, the Quirky's 307 new song is going to drop.
Wow.
I'm dropping a Quirky's 307 song next week.
But you don't have a PR machine behind you, Quirky's 307.
We do. iHeartMedia.
Do you think iHeartMedia will push your song?
I don't know. Maybe they will.
If they have any sense, yes.
I am a digital...
And they do.
Aspiring
that's why
pop
we're here.
Star. And I am going to release my new song called...
Meta.
The song
Meta?
Is called, no, the song is called...
You're making up the name right now.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm
you just, don't have a name to yet.
I am. I'm just
You haven't
building
even
tension.
Written it yet.
I'm building tension.
Is the song name going to be Sintrabus?
The song is called Matoken.
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 I can't get on the subway because I can't find
Matoken. That's a very good line. I'll put that in there with a contribution. You'll receive co-writing credit.
All right.
I'll change a previous line.
That should be the chorus.
Well, it'll be a pre-chorus, maybe.
Next week?
Maybe in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe 2 weeks. I'm going to have a busy week. I'm traveling. But
maybe the season finale.
Maybe by the season finale, in the next few weeks, I will release my first pop song called Matoken.
We're about to launch a whole social media campaign for prop culture.
Especially because we have my career is on the line here.
Yeah. We need a digital hub, and we're going to... What platform should we start with first?
YouTube.
Okay.
Bet recap. Will Kim or Pete start dating first? Will we see the Juggalo Hot Pepper in private video? Will the Cracker Barrel stock rise or sink? Will Matoken become an international hit for Quirky's 307?
iHeartPropCulture@gmail.com. iLovePropCulture@gmail.com. Send us 0G porn if you can find it. I challenge you to find it. We'll report back next week with a special prop culture report on Cracker Barrel. We'll have another visit upcoming from Balls for Jagger, our NFT minting currently in progress.
Balls like Jagger.
What'd I say?
Balls for Jagger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of Loot for Adventures.
Yeah,
Balls for Jagger.
You think that everyone's kind of middle name is 4.
The number. And we have our BA, our Bored Ape coming up.
What an exciting time for prop culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Prop culture is sort of getting its bearings. Everything we say and do on this podcast is unreliable. Prop culture is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. Closing up the missive. Prop culture.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bededa. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.